www.familymatters.com.
We've been in this series called Family Matters for a number of weeks, and today we come to a morning that's called Family Values, and we'll get to what that means in a minute. But as I was preparing for this week, I came across some interesting statistics, and I wanted to share a few things with you this morning that I came across. And they're just averages about our life and how we spend our time. It says that the average person in America lives to be about 78 years old. Okay, just on average, 78 years old. But during that time, here's how long we spend doing certain activities. We spend about 25 years of our life sleeping. Okay, 25 years of our life. So about a third of our life is sleep time. For some people, we're thinking this morning, could have used a little bit more than a third of our life, right? But 25 years sleeping, about a third of our life. Now, then we spend about another 10 years working, 3 years in school, 4 years driving, 1 year cleaning, and 1.5 years in the bathroom. Okay? Now, we also spend about 6 years of our life in a combination of cooking and eating. Okay, so overall, you add those things up, that's about another third of your life, about another 25 years of your life. Now, to kind of keep going with the statistics, it said that, interestingly, women spend nearly 1 year of their life deciding what to wear, and 1.5 years of their life doing their hair. Now, while that might be something to giggle about, men spend about 1 year of their life staring at women. So, coincidence on those stats? I don't think so. Okay? So, now, women, on average, spend about 8 years of their life shopping. True fact. And men spend about 7 years of their life wondering what's taking so long. So, okay, that's not a true fact. That part isn't. Okay, now we spend about 10 years of our life, again, average American, everyone's a little different, but on average, we spend about 10 years of our life watching television. And 2 years of it is spent watching commercials. Okay, 2 years of our life spent watching TV commercials. So I began to think about this a little bit this week, and I thought, well, how much time do we spend when it comes to, say, our spiritual growth and development in our life? So let's crunch some numbers here. Let's say you're someone who, you know, maybe most people would consider pretty active in your church life, okay? So you spend an hour or so each week in worship. And because you're like the super Christian, you go to church every single Sunday, okay? So that's an hour a week. And you're active in personal devotions. So let's just say you spend about 20 minutes each day on your own in prayer or reading the Bible, something like that. Okay, so that's another 2 hours in a week. And then, you know, because we value community, you attend a small group. So that's like an hour, but it's kind of every other week because we don't meet all the time. And maybe you're spending another hour or two each month serving in some capacity. So between those two, you spend another hour, which totals up to about 4 hours of time each week. Most people would say, yeah, that's a pretty active spiritual life, a growth and development. Okay, so 4 hours each week. Now, if we do the math, that totals up to about 16,000 hours over the course of our life, which works out to less than 2 years of our life of spiritual growth and development. We spend more time watching TV commercials than we do developing our relationship with Jesus. Drop the mic, walk off the stage, message done, right? Convicting, isn't it? I mean, that's hard to hear. That should be a reality check for us as followers of Jesus. And I think it says a lot about what we value most in our life. Okay, so today's theme is family values. And now I know when I When I think of that phrase, I usually think of, you know, characteristics and, you know, moral standards and things like that that we think should be in our family. What are, traditionally considered important family values. Things like honesty and integrity and hard work and respect and so on. But this morning we're going to look at family values in maybe a little different light because we want to look at it in terms of what should be most important to us. What should be most important to us? So we're talking about the idea of putting first things first. Okay, so that's where we're headed when we speak of family values this morning. Okay, so a couple of thoughts on this. First of all, first point of the day, in your notes if you're following along, we will choose to spend our time doing what we value most. We'll choose to spend our time doing what we value most. If we love something, people around us probably know it as well because we're spending our time doing that thing, whatever it is. If it's important to us, if we value it enough, we're going to find a way to put it into our schedule and make it happen. So I play guitar a little bit for a few years. A while back, I hung out pretty regularly at the open mic night. I played songs and did some shows, I guess you could call them, once in a while downtown. And I loved that. It was a lot of fun to be able to do. I went just about every Tuesday night to an open mic. Most times I played. Sometimes I just hung out with people there because it was a good chance to connect and meet people outside of our church walls. But as I was there, you know, some of the musicians would play like the same couple of songs every week, over and over and over. Even though it was like a year or two later, it's the same three songs, you know, just being repeated. And they weren't learning anything new. They weren't developing their talent. And that kind of gets a little bit old. And so when I was a part of that, I was always trying to think of, like, is there a new song I can learn? Or writing my own songs, trying to come up with things that I could play that would be new or interesting or maybe make a point or connect somehow with somebody. So I probably played my guitar a couple of hours a week, sometimes even more, because it was important to me, right? I valued that opportunity to play. Now, maybe you have different values than I do. You know, if you value golf, you're going to find a way to get on the golf course. If you value music, you're going to find a way to, you know, buy it or play it or whatever it is that you're into there. If you value gardening or reading or art or photography, whatever it is, if you value it, you'll find a way to make it a part of your life. So we will choose to spend our time on what we value most. How does that apply to us in terms of our spiritual growth and development, in terms of our life with Jesus? Well, as followers of Jesus, we know Jesus is supposed to come first in everything. But then we have to ask ourselves, is that what our real life actually reflects? Right? If we value Jesus, we're going to find a way to spend significant time with him. So Jesus said this in Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart is also." All right? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We will choose to spend our time doing what we value most. Okay? So that's the first thought for this morning. Second thing, the specific things that we value will change over time. All right? They're often going to change over time. Now, again, example, I used to spend a couple of hours a week playing guitar and writing songs. Now, I only play when I have to lead music on Sunday mornings or play on a worship team on Sunday. I don't have the time. I don't value it like I used to. On the other hand, back then when I was playing the open mics and playing and writing songs, I didn't coach soccer. We didn't, you know, I didn't have four girls playing at various times throughout the week all over the city or state. So now that's become a higher value to me. I can't do both. I couldn't do both, so I had to choose. And I chose to be involved in the girls' world of soccer instead of playing guitar. Now, I miss playing guitar like I used to. Being able to do that, it's hard to let that go. I miss it. I don't regret it. But the point is this, that the specific things that we value in our life are often going to change over time. But when it comes to our devotion to Jesus, when it comes to our devotion to Jesus, that should never change. Right? Our devotion to Jesus should never change. Because we never completely arrive, do we? It's not like if we accumulate a certain amount of hours, okay, now we're good. And now we're there. Now we got it all figured out. We understand everything. Well, we mature, but we never arrive. There's always more to know of Him. There's always a closer, deeper relationship that with Him that we can have. And we have to keep growing and developing when it comes to our walk with Jesus, which means we have to give Him our time. It has to be a priority. It has to be something that we value. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said that we should seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Right? Seeking Jesus. You know, spiritual growth and development, however you'd like to say that, that should be our greatest priority in life, our first priority. Now, for that to happen, there are a couple of other things that may need to take place in our life in order for that to happen. Sometimes, and here's the next point in your notes, sometimes we must let go of trivial things in order to hold on to important things. Sometimes we must let go of trivial things in order to hold on to important things. Okay? Now, quick show of hands. How many of you would say and agree with me that you consider spiritual growth and development to be something that would be considered important? Okay? I'd say most of us, right? Probably all of us. I'd obviously agree with that. Now, I mentioned the statistics about TV, but let's consider a different scenario. And don't raise your hands for this, because I'm not trying to single anyone out, but how many of you spent more time this week on Facebook than you did in prayer or reading Scripture? I'm going, not me. I'm awful at Facebook. That's why I picked that example. Right? I don't have to raise my hand. I don't care about Candy Crush Saga or Farmville or whatever. I don't care. So I'm off the hook. Okay, what about video games? Off the hook again. Going to a movie, reading a book, doing a craft, back to the original thing, watching TV, right? Now maybe some of those things are a little bit closer to home for you. You know, what about working out? Some people are really big on working out, you know, getting some exercise. 1 Timothy 4:7-8, it's interesting. As Paul writes this to Timothy, he says, train yourself for godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Right? Train yourself for godliness. It's a priority. It's a value we're supposed to have. For while the bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. Now, please don't use this verse to justify not getting the exercise that your doctor says you should get. You know, you go to the doctor's office and he asks, how are you doing? Well, you know, body training is of some value, but the godliness, that's, you know, the real thing. Get the exercise, but here's the point. We often don't give a second thought to spending whatever, a few hours a week working out, maybe 10 to 15 hours participating in some sport or dance or whatever. We bend over backwards to shuffle our kids around and be sure they get there are activities on time that do that, but then often we feel like we don't have an hour on Sunday to worship God, right? And when we do make it there, we're usually showing up late, right? Sorry if that strikes a nerve with anyone. We start late all the time. I'm not sure which comes first, the chicken or the egg in this one, but, you know, that's how it is oftentimes in our life. God is taking second place, right? Or third or fourth or fifth. But sometimes we have to let go of some trivial things in order to hold on to the things that are most important. Now, sometimes, the second thing there is we need to say no to good things in order to pursue the best things. Okay, say no to good things in order to pursue the best things. Here's a story you're probably familiar with in the scripture from Luke chapter 10. It says, Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem. They came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister, Mary, sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, it's really easy to do a comparison here and talk about, oh, sitting and listening to Jesus is what we need to be doing, and doing all the work, that's not that important. But the reality is, actually, both of them are pretty important things, right? Martha was serving Jesus. And Mary was listening to him. In that moment, though, Jesus acknowledged that what Mary chose was the best option. She chose to do the best thing over doing a good thing. I think there are times where we may be torn between some good things in our life. We can't do them all. Right? But often, one thing may be best. So we need to say no to the good thing in order to pursue what's best. Okay? So what do you, when you think of yourself as an individual or you as a family, what do you value most? What do you value most as a family? Is it truly Jesus? Does your life reflect that? I mean, one of the first things that we should put first in our life is our spiritual growth and development. Now, I want to talk about that for a few minutes, because earlier I painted, you know, kind of this picture of maybe an example of what our spiritual life could look like, or what we might consider a real active, pretty active spiritual life. And I just want to kind of hone in on that for a couple of moments. You know, I mentioned the idea of, hey, we spend an hour a week in worship at church, okay? Every week. Like, that's the idea. Word about this. Did you know that about 40% of Americans say that they attend church each week, according to surveys? Now, the question goes something like this. Did you attend church within the last week? Simple question. 40% of Americans say yes, that they did. However, when you consider actual attendance rates, we Christians tend to embellish that a little bit. Because we answer in the tone of, well, okay, I didn't attend last week, but I usually do. Normally I would say yes, and yeah, I was there, so yeah, I attended church in last week. So that 40% number is actually more around 17 to 20%, most statistics show. About 20% actually do attend church each week. The average person who attends church does so once or maybe twice a month. Now, I'm not just saying this because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a pastor, I'm saying this. Attending church is very important. It's really important. And I want us to consider a few reasons why this morning. First of all, it's what Jesus did. Okay? Jesus had a regular habit of being, in the synagogue when that time came. He was there, okay? If the Son of God thought it was important, it should be fairly important to us. Jesus did this. Second, it's what the Bible instructs us to do. You know, don't forsake assembling together. We're supposed to do this on a regular basis. So it's what Jesus did. It's what the Bible says we should do. Third, it's important for fellowship and for growth. You know, I do often hear people say something like, it's not like you need to attend church to be a Christian. That's true on the surface. As long as you can be a Christian and ignore what Jesus did and what the Bible says we should do, then I guess that's true. But even more significant than that, I've never heard someone who is thriving and growing in their faith, who is, you know, really showing fruit in their life, who really demonstrates and imitates Jesus, who's having this incredible spiritual journey and an awesome impact on people around them, say that. It's usually someone who just kind of justifies not going, quite honestly, okay? It's important for fellowship and for growth. It also sets an example for other people, okay? Especially those who don't know Christ yet. I mean, look, one of the ways that people often come to be followers of Jesus is they get invited to church and they hear about Jesus and wow, something happens. God moves in their heart. That's pretty cool. Oftentimes, that's an open door to somebody coming to faith in Christ. But if you are a follower of Jesus and you don't make worship attendance a priority in your life, why would anyone who is not a Christian ever want to go? You've already told them it's not really that important, right? We've done that. We've said, communicated, whether we've said it out loud or not, we said, you know what, this isn't that important. Whether we make attending church a priority or not says a lot to other people about our faith. It says a lot to our family. It says a lot to our friends. It says a lot to our coworkers. It says a lot to our kids. Now, it also affects the future of our society. Well, that seems like a big lofty thing, right? Whether you show up on Sunday or not, it affects all of our society. Here's what I mean by that. When we prioritize worship, our family learns the value of it. The people around us see that we value it. And, you know, our kids one day, my kids one day, hopefully will set that example for their kids. And they will set that example for their kids and so on. See, it's not just about whether you show up this particular Sunday or next Sunday or the Sunday after that. It's about having an impact even on our entire society for Jesus. Both now, you know, this week, next week, the week after that, but in the future. So it is important. It is important. And if all that doesn't convince you, which, you know, maybe most of you are going, I was there like 5 points ago, but here's one more thing. One other reason we should show up is because God deserves it. God deserves it. He is a God who deserves our worship and our praise. We gather every week just to do that. I mean, yeah, we, you know, get challenged by some pastor who's got a lot of words and whatever, and we look at the scripture, but we worship God. He deserves being worshiped. When we skip out, he gets robbed of what he deserves. So, it's important. 1 hour, that's just talking about the 1 hour of church on Sunday morning. Highly important. Add in some of the other things that were mentioned. 1 hour each week in small group or serving. Maybe a couple of hours, 20 minutes a day in personal devotions, 3 to 4 hours a week. You know, I think that's a pretty good starting point for gauging it. How is my spiritual life going? Am I growing and developing? Am I investing into that? Am I letting God work in that? So I ask you this morning, how are you doing in that area? You know, I mean, would you say you're even close? Maybe some of you go, yeah, I'm doing really well. And not that it's about the numbers and not that it's legalistic or anything like that, but our spiritual growth and development is important because Jesus is supposed to be a priority. You know, could we commit to giving Jesus the same amount of time we'll end up spending watching TV commercials in our life? Could we at least give him that? Now, here's the thing. Practically, the problem is, even when we commit to that, even when we're on board with that, it still seems hard to squeeze it into our schedules, doesn't it? You know, it's still hard. And we often say something like, oh, it just seems like there's not enough time in the day to get everything done and to still spend time with God. But the reality is we're usually choosing something else over him. Okay, so I want to give a little illustration this morning. Maybe you've heard it or seen this morning at other times as we close, but you know, we've got three different things here. We've got some pebbles, some sand, some large rocks. You know, there are some things, they represent different priorities that we're supposed to have, you know, in our life, right? There's a lot of small, trivial things that we have to do. And, you know, those things go into our jar of life. This is the time that we have, and we fill them up with sometimes the very small, trivial things. And there are some things that maybe are a little more significant or a little more important. You know, the pebbles. Okay, we stick those in there. And then all of a sudden we've got these big rocks, these really important things that eventually we say, you know, no, we got to get to those. And we're, you know, trying to get them in there. And then there's the really big, important, high-priority rock of Jesus, which doesn't even really fit in, right? That's pretty tough. It's tough to fit the important things in when we fill ourselves up with the small stuff. However, what if we started to say, let's take the important things and put those in place first, the priorities. Try to do this without breaking it. The noise is just for dramatic sound effect. All right? We got the important things in place. Now we add in some of our maybe less important things. Now we've got all these small, little, trivial things that we need to accomplish in our life. Funny, it all fits. And I'm not lying, they are the same amounts. Now, the issue isn't to say this, that when we put Jesus first, we have more time for a whole lot of other stuff. Okay? That's just not the reality. But the idea is, what if we were putting the first priorities first, and we were letting the rest of life fill in around that? How would that be different in our life? What if our first priorities, putting our first things first, was what we did? You know, if we can't fit Jesus in, maybe we need to let go of some of those more trivial things so we can hold on to what's important. Maybe we need to say no to something else, maybe even some good things, so we can pursue what's best in our life. Maybe we need to be sure we're putting the first things first. Now, I'm not going to tell you today what things are sand in your life, what things are pebbles, and what all the big rocks are supposed to be in your life. Our family activity this week, if you're going along with the family activities that we have in your notes, whether you do that as an individual or as a family, we'll give you a chance to consider those things a little bit further. But my hope or my goal today, my hope today is that we would be able to say, let's make Jesus, our spiritual growth and development, our first priority. Let's put first things first. So what I'm going to do is Bob's going to come up and just play for a moment, and I want to invite you to come up this morning and set out here on the tables. We just have some rocks. They're not quite the same size, but you'll get the idea. I just want to invite you to come up and take a rock this morning and to take it home with you. And if you need it, there's a Sharpie as well. If you have a Sharpie at home, you don't need to take one. But just that this week we'd be able to say, look, is Jesus our first priority? If not, what is our highest priority? What is it that we value most, that we want to put first in our life? And this will also be helpful if you're doing that family activity. So we're going to take a moment as we just consider that question. What is my greatest priority in life? Is it Jesus? Is it something else? So just in the next minute or two, I invite you to come on up and take a rock, and you can take that home with you, and then we'll wrap things up this morning. Again, my hope today is not to tell you all of the things that should be the greatest or biggest rocks in your life, but to challenge us to say that the one thing that should be that highest priority is Jesus. And I've talked about that this morning in terms of our spiritual growth and development, but it's really about Jesus. It's about seeking Him and being close to Him. My hope is that you would make Jesus that first rock that you put into the jar. Okay? Make it the first rock. Don't try to squeeze Him in. Because when we try to do that, we'll fail. Make Him the first thing, our first priority. First things first. And then we'll see what else in life fits around Him. I want to close with just a few verses from a psalm. Psalm 90, which is a psalm of Moses. And Moses, the people of Israel, saw a lot of hardships in their life, right? And often it was because of their own disobedience to God, and then they suffered because of it. But they saw firsthand as a result His power and His strength and His might and His wrath, the difficult, heavy stuff. So the psalm itself is pretty heavy. But within this psalm come a couple of incredible words about what we're talking about this morning. So Psalm 90, 9 through 10, verse 12, it's in your notes. You can follow along if you'd like. He writes, "For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Translated, 70 years, 80 if we're lucky. Yet their span is toil and trouble. They're soon gone, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days. In other words, he's saying, help us put first things first. Help us number our days and really make them count. Let's stand as we close and we'll pray this morning. Lord, you are the one who has given us everything that we have, every breath that we breathe in this life, every moment we have alive, everything, it's all yours. Everything is in your hands. We are in your very hands. And the hard thing is for us to acknowledge that sometimes. But this morning we pause to ask ourselves, what is it that we really value? And Lord, we know our lives get filled by so many different things, but we want to have you as our first priority. God, we ask for your help. We ask for your strength. We ask for your wisdom in how to do that. Lord, we want to make a commitment this morning in our hearts to put you first, to make you our highest priority, and be the biggest rock in our life. And as we do that, Lord, we pray that you would take care of the rest. That the things that we feel are so urgent now, we trust you to take care of that. Help us to seek you first, your kingdom, your righteousness, and to put you as our first priority. We ask this and ask for your strength in the name of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.